What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
I no longer regard myself as a slave of sin. I see myself as master over sin. That does not mean that I do not sin. Grace empowers my redeemed self, my spirit, to have dominion. And it's a very important, fundamental shift that's taken place in my thinking.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
We could all testify as to various sin that we have faced and that we're still facing. And it has been the leading, I think, of the Holy Spirit for me to give a testimony today. Not about the particular sins that you would not want to hear about anyway, but I want to give a testimony to the way that the unfettered gospel, unmixed gospel of grace that is not mixed with a little bit of law, how the more I've embraced that gospel has helped me grow in victory over sin. And you already know there's no boasting in this because I'm the same one that had murderous thoughts towards the iPod thief and then coveted within 10 seconds of that. And so it's not to boast, but it is to say that there is a testimony, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. How does the gospel of Jesus, how do we end up growing up in the Lord so we don't sin as much? And I never heard anybody give that kind of testimony before. A lot of times we talk about the awful things we've done, but then God forgave us and we can cry and be glad. But how does it actually work? And this is a summary of a lot of things that I think the Lord's been showing me in recent years. And I intend for it to be of profound encouragement, and I intend for it to be of great glory to the Lord and the preeminence of Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. The first is to say, the more I know of God, the more I know how much more there is to know of God. It is to say, the more I grow, the more I see the need to grow. So my journey, my testimony, is not to say that now I sin less and so I see how much better I am. It's really not to say that, but it is to say that the more that I experience God, the more I know Him, the more I know how vast He is, how marvelous He is, and how little I actually do know of Him. Which is to me an entirely different way of looking at the needs, limitations, weaknesses, and failures of my life. Because there is a way in which you can look at your failures, folly, and sin, and you can say to yourself, look how far I have fallen short. Which, in a certain form of meditation upon that, will essentially make you feel doomed. Because if the goal line is just so far away, and you have fallen miles from it, at some point you just go, why bother running this race? But what's happened instead by the grace invading my life rather than law, I get excited at how much more I could grow. Once you take law with the fear of punishment and curse out of your life, now your growth in the Lord is not about avoiding that punishment It is about the opportunity, the expansive possibilities of what can happen in your life. It is about the expansive opportunity to get better at everything that God's called you to. And I realize how far I've got to go. I want to have my mind so that it's set on only that which is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. I'm growing to where I despise my own negative thinking. I don't want a negative thought to come in my mind just because a little adversity comes my way. But instead of seeing God up there shaming me for my bad thoughts, I'm filled with this incredible hope of seeing the advance of the gospel in my mind, you see. That's a hopeful way of looking at life. Secondly, I stumble, but I don't feel stuck in the same way I would have in a former year. I still sin, but with no law threatening and therefore arousing the sin and arousing rebellion, with no law there taunting and cursing, the sin has less staying power. I don't think that when I fall into a pit, I stay there as long. And the pit's not as deep. And I've got a ways to go. But the gospel's changed that. Thirdly, this is really important. When I sin under grace rather than the law, there is now no downward cycle of shame, isolation, fear, feeling of impotence to overcome sin, then more sin, more shame, and the cycle continuing. That cycle of sin makes me feel so shamed that I don't measure up, that leads to hiding. Well, what happens is why, this is a big part of why the law doesn't conquer sin, is that in our shame, we hide from God and we hide from each other when we need God and need each other the most. It's a trick of hell, isn't it? And in that hiding, there's so much anxiety, and anxiety produces sin and shame. But where there is grace, and there is forgiveness, we can be open. It doesn't mean that every little sin in your life you stand up and blab it to the whole congregation. But what it does mean for me is that I'm much less fearful of being with God or being with others when I'm not doing well. Because when I'm not doing well, it's when I need you the most. When I need God the most. And when you can be open and walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies us of our unrighteousness, and we have fellowship with one another, and hell's on the run, and darkness flees, and victory comes. The cycle changes when you move from law to grace. Fourth, with no threat of the law's punishment, I think I can honestly say I've come to love the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What I once would have feared, I love. I love the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I love the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He is the most wonderful teacher in the universe. It's just like getting the most wonderful teacher for free to live with you, who can, as much as you want to listen, show you a better way in everything that you do, think, and say. That's hopeful. Now, if you see the Holy Spirit, you see God as the kind of teacher that's ready to slap you with the ruler and tell you what a failure you are each time, then you could fear that. But if you've ever had an excellent teacher, you know that the teacher is for you. The teacher wants you to learn and wants you to grow. And that's why teachers are valuable. And He is perfect. And there may be times where my heart breaks to see my own sin. But in the midst of that heartbreak, even in the midst of the hottest tears, there is an abounding hope, because the reason that the Holy Spirit is there to guide me is because He loves me. And so I welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, how grace instead of law has helped me grow in victory. Fifth, I no longer regard myself as a slave of sin. I see myself as master over sin. That does not mean that I do not sin. But it means that while law can only appeal to my old carnal nature to try out of my flesh to keep it and make me therefore feel like a slave to it because I'll never be able to keep it out of my flesh, what grace does, revealing to us the love of Jesus and bestowing upon us the anointing of Jesus, grace empowers my redeemed self, my spirit, to have dominion. And it's a very important fundamental shift that's taken place in my thinking. And I plead with you to consider this, because if you see yourself as a slave to sin and you think that you're always stuck in the same old negative thinking, the same old patterns, the same old anger problem, the same old lust problem, the same old covetousness, if you think that you are a slave to that, then you will not have hope. But the gospel says that we're free from the law, and therefore we're free from the cycle of law, punishment, curse, sin, and death. There is deliverance.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
There is deliverance. Who will deliver me? Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we become arrogant and think that we don't sin and we don't have problems. It just says that we don't think that the way out of our sin is by considering ourselves slaves to sin. That only produces more anxiety and more failure. Sixthly, this has been important. I realize that I do not see my sin primarily as a violation of the law. I really think that if you get grace, if you really get hold of it, you let go of the law, come out from under it, and you come into grace, what happens is you'll start seeing your sin now not as a violation of the law, but a violation of your destiny. And it's a big difference. And it's a bigger motivation to me. I feel more and more like Joseph. Remember when Potiphar's wife was after him and tried to seduce him, and Joseph runs and flees the temptation. And what Joseph says is that my master has put me in charge of the entire household. How could I do such a thing? You know what he's saying? I'm too important to fall into this sin right now. Because victory does not come by extraordinary self-will, but by extraordinary worth in Christ. And I find myself more and more saying, not with arrogance, but with joy, with a glad heart, I'm too important. My life matters too much. I got too much of a destiny to cave in to the flesh right now. See your sin not as opposition to the law with its punishment and curse, but see it that sin is simply holding you back from the fullness of everything that God wants to do in your life. And life is short, and we got to get the job done, and I don't want to have my life being constantly wrecked by the old ways of the flesh. I see it differently. Now we've got a destiny. That's what grace does. And seventh, these are going to come to an end. Eventually. Seven, under grace rather than the law, I am inspired by the announcement of blessing rather than the threat of curse. I cannot point, perhaps, to any other singular principle or power other than the direct presence of the Holy Spirit Himself than that of the power of blessing over my life to change my life and to cause me to be inspired to sin no more. Kindness of God leads me to repentance far greater than the curse of hell and the threat of punishment. I spoke at a conference this spring for ladies, and God was there, and it was good, and we spoke of shame and the healing grace of Jesus. And afterwards, the lady who had coordinated the conference came to me, not to flatter, not to puff up. She wasn't that kind of person. She was a woman. You respect her, the depths of the riches of her walk with God. And she just came up and she shook my hand at the end and she said, "Thank you. This was good." And she looked me in the eyes and she said, "You're a wise and gracious man. And I thank you for coming." There would have been a former year and a former self in which I would have deflected that and said, "No, I wanted to murder the iPod thief. I'm not gracious." But what I've learned to do instead is to look her back in the eyes and let those words of life and grace and blessing penetrate as deeply as possible, because that's what I want to be. I want to be a wise and gracious man. Even since that time, this spring, there have been moments where sin was lying close at hand, and something inside of me aspired to show grace and to act wisely, because I heard that I was a wise and gracious man, and so shall it be. It's why, church, I will never announce over your lives, no matter how deep your sin, I will never announce over your lives a curse, but will always speak a blessing, for such is the power of the gospel. And there is one last thing. Number eight, how grace has changed my view, has given victory, has made everything different for me, is because of the blood of Jesus. I see Jesus as my advocate and never as my accuser. I just don't see God anymore in any way accusing me, because I believe so radically in the blood of Jesus. I believe that it is absolutely nothing in and of my own effort that has redeemed me whatsoever. That this is love, not that I first loved him, but he first loved me. That he came and he died for the ungodly while we were still in our sin. While we were still his enemies, he came and he died for us. Such is the love of God. And I believe that the cross of Jesus Christ is so sufficient that he does not hold any penalty against me, and that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus as white as snow. It's sometimes hard to believe when I know that sin lies so close at hand, but I've come to see that Jesus is 100%, totally, completely an advocate for every child of God, and it changes everything. It changes everything. Because when you're in the battle against sin, and sin lies close at hand, and the flesh is trying to take over, I don't see God as this accuser who is going to look upon my failure. I see instead the blood of Jesus. I see the success of Jesus, the perfection of Jesus. I see the unlimited love and favor of Jesus who has died for me. And now, behold, he reigns forevermore and intercedes for me and loves me and advocates for me. And every demon in hell might accuse me, but the Son of God, who's already made a spectacle of all the principalities of hell, now advocates for me. So, when you are up against the struggles of life, it is not that Jesus is somewhere aloof and looking down on you. It is instead that he is the warrior who is by your side. He is the advocate ready to defend you. He is more for you than you are for yourself. So you might as well call upon him in your time of need.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching, My Journey to Victory.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart, hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good, that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Alan, in a series on hope and thinking about victory, you're looking forward to that day. But until that time comes, there's victory in the here and now because we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Jesus is interceding on our behalf.
Yeah. It's in just sharing some of my own story today, Daniel, it's a beautiful reminder of my own heart. There's been a process. And I think for a lot of our listeners, you say, I don't feel like that I'm there yet. I don't have this abounding hope you're talking about. Well, there is a process. And that's what I've been trying to describe. There's a process how grace instead of law has helped me grow into a sense of victory. And you know, when we use the word victory, we're not talking about a life with no problems or troubles. We're not talking about a life free from adversity. But we are talking about a victory that comes from living with hope and having an increasing capacity to overcome sin rather than be overcome by it, and for joy in our life. And so I just pray for all of our listeners that have ever been in any of that sense of downward cycle of shame that I once was in, that you would ever increasingly through these chapters in Romans discover the certainty of God's love, the fullness of justification, so that you can see Jesus as your advocate, that he's utterly and completely for you. And in that revelation, hope springs up eternally.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.